So this week, the kids had the opportunity of studying an important part of Scripture in the book of John. Now, the book of John is one of the four synoptic gospels. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, Matthew was geared as a gospel more towards the Jews. It was the gospel presented to the Jewish nation. When you look at Mark and you look at Luke, it was more towards the Gentiles. But John is very different because the synoptic gospel of John was really meant for the Christian that has discovered Jesus but wants to have a daily walk with Jesus. And so the focus in the synoptic gospel of John is more, how do you sustain being a Christian? And I don't know about you, but in this world today, we live in the jungle. Amen? Because in this jungle that we find ourselves stuck in, we have a roaring lion who wants to devour us. And as we run, we find ourselves in the safety of the trees, but in the trees, we see the wily serpent who wants to deceive us. And so we run and we find shelter with others who are trying to find security, but we find ourselves stuck in the rat race. Life is a jungle, and it's hard to keep our focus on Jesus when we're so worried about surviving every day. And so the book of John tells us that God provided many signs, many wonders, and he says these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, because in believing in Christ, you will have eternal life. Which means, don't worry about the roaring lion. Don't worry about the wily serpent. Don't worry about the rat race. Rather, keep your focus on Jesus, and you will make it to the end. Now, today, it's very difficult because we must work and live together. In a church like this, with very many cultures, and we belong to a multicultural world church, it's easy for our cultures to take precedent over our love for Jesus. But I'm here to tell you that the culture of Jesus trumps us all. And so in our congregation, we have Filipino, Puerto Rican, Hispanic, Kenyan, Tongan, but we all love the same God. Amen? And as we think about our relationship and our daily walk with Jesus, the children this week were taught that we can encounter Jesus by looking at five examples. First of all, looking at encountering Jesus in the temple. Encountering Jesus at the river. Encountering Jesus on the water, at the tomb site, and on the road to Emmaus. Now, time is very short, so I'm going to summarize very quickly these five points. First of all, the temple. Jesus was 12 years old. They were there for the Passover. Mary and Joseph got caught up in their daily routine of packing up, and they were heading back to their place. They went along with the caravan, and you know how it is in life when you have a child. You assume that the other parent is taking care of that child. And so you get caught up and you're busy talking about what just happened, where you were. And then they looked around and they discovered that Jesus wasn't there. For that one moment, they lost sight of Jesus. And Mary started to panic. Joseph, where's Jesus? I don't know. I thought you were watching him. They start to ask people in the caravan, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? No, we haven't seen Jesus. And so in panic, they ran back to Jerusalem, looking, inquiring of all the pilgrims. Did you see Jesus? Have you seen our 12-year-old? No one has seen him. One time, they took their eyes off of Jesus, and they lost him for 3 days. Finally, they encountered Jesus, and where did they find him? In the temple with the priest, asking questions and inquiring and gaining a knowledge of who God was. This is where we encounter God. We study God's word, we listen to the sermon, and we are challenged and provoked to think about our relationship with God. But let me tell you something. The moment you take your eyes off of Jesus just for a second, it will take you 3 days to rediscover him. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. It will take you longer to rediscover him. Then we see Jesus at the river. Did Jesus need to be baptized? He did it for those who have no opportunity to give their life to Christ, like the thief on the cross. But we discover here that if you are shown a greater truth, you must make your own decision. Because if you reject that truth, you will be held accountable for that truth. But I do want to say something here. Jesus is in the business of saving lives. And so for those who are fearful, for those who had no opportunity, Jesus' righteousness can be imputed on you in your belief in Jesus. But all must be saved by water and the Spirit. And for those who cannot be a part of the water conversion, Christ covers that. You see, this is the kind of God that we love and we serve. God is not in the business of keeping you out because of what you do. He is not so interested in your behavior because we are sinful. He is more interested in your belief. We are in an imperfect world. We're in a jungle. We don't serve a petty God that will cast you into hellfire judgment, as some church believers believe, but rather he will look at your heart and say, "What is your relationship with me?" And so we discover this on the water. How many of you feel that you are in turbulent waters at this time? How many of you have been betrayed by family, attacked? As much as you try and try to have a relationship, people always betray you. They turn against you. Maybe in your work you've lost your job and you don't know what to do. Maybe you have not been out of school for 4 years and you're fearful of what the future holds. Let me tell you that God has a future for you and it is all good. So don't ever believe that you have to struggle in life on your own. Because the Bible tells us that if you're in a storm, just look to Jesus, and Jesus has command of all of heaven, and he can calm the storm. In fact, the Bible tells us that if you had just a little faith, you can also walk on water like Peter. But if you keep looking at yourself and looking to others, guess where you're going to end up? Deep in the ocean. Keep your eyes on Jesus so you can walk on the water. It is not your power. It is the power of God that sustains us. We are so busy, worried about the rat race and being in the jungle when we should be worried and looking towards Jesus and looking towards heaven. The children were also taught that there are many false gods in the world. Many people claim to be Christ. But we discover that the one who claims to be God was crucified on the cross and buried in a tomb. And we discover that when we try to find Jesus in the tomb, he is not there. Now, there's a lot of places that we look for Jesus, and Jesus will be there. Call on his name, he will answer. Search for God, he will answer. He will be there. But there's one place where you will try to find God, where you will try to find Jesus, and you will not find him. And that is in a tomb. Because God is not dead. The God that we believe, the God that we serve, is alive. Amen. This is not a dead church. This is not a dead faith. Our God is not dead. Our God, right now, is hearing us and is with us at this moment. And this is very different because I have been around the world and I have preached this sermon that there is a God. He sent his only son, Jesus. He died on the cross and he's hearing you now. He's alive and his name is Jesus. And some of the people in Mindoro, the mountain tribes, have never heard the name Jesus. And when they discovered Jesus for the first time, they couldn't believe it. And they said, "Teach us more about who Jesus is. You think that this was years ago. This happened just 5 weeks ago when I was in the Philippines." Not only did the chief get baptized, the whole village got baptized. 250 people gave their life to Jesus in the China Sea. I was in the water for 3 hours, and at the end of 4 weeks, 700 people gave their life to Jesus. Amen. I was in the jungle, but Jesus was there. Amen. Then we discover that Jesus isn't satisfied with just how we dedicate our lives to Jesus, but that he stays with us on our journey, on our road to Emmaus. You see, a lot of times we believe that as soon as we give our life to Jesus, that's it. Hands off God. And a lot of people believe that there is a God, but that God is not interested in your life. God is interested in your sanctification. But it is not you who works in your sanctification. Tremble, the Bible says, working out your sanctification. Oh, wretched man that I am. The good that I want to do, I cannot do. I try and try, and I still end up doing the evil. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I praise God that I believe and I have a Savior who has provided eternal life because of his work, not our work. This is the heart of righteousness by faith. You think it is the righteousness that you achieve because of your faith. It is not. It is the faith of Jesus to save you. You just have to believe. How many of you believe in Jesus today? How many of you are ready for that same Jesus to come? I want to share something with you because John says that these things are written so that you might believe. What is written? And this is how I'm going to close today. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning of time, at the beginning of creation, before you and I existed, before the animals existed, before the universe was placed, God says, was the Word. And the Word was with who? God. And the Word was God. Don't let anyone tell you that the Word is anything less than God. Because there is a group today that will try to convince you that the man Jesus is just the man. But I am reading here from the Bible that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Not my words, God's words. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Who made and who created all of this? The Word. In him was life. The life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now the question is, who is the Word? Let's make sure. Let's make sure because we like to say it, but let's let the Bible answer it. John 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Now, as far as I know, I only know of one individual who claimed to be the Creator, who claimed to be God and was made flesh. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He didn't dwell among all the other unfallen worlds. He didn't dwell among the hosts of angels. He came down and was made flesh. That must mean that you must mean something special to God. He was made flesh. Who is that, folks? Jesus. So let's replace the Word now. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus is God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In Jesus is life, and life was the light of men. Is Jesus the light of your soul? Is Jesus the light of your family? Don't let anyone convince you that Jesus is less than God himself. And in Revelation, we are told to fear God. and give glory to him. See, in our world today, we like to give ourselves glory. But the Bible tells us to give glory to God. But let's be specific here. Revelation chapter 14 tells us that who are we to give glory to? Give glory and worship him who did what? Created all heaven and earth. Therefore, who does our worship belong to? Jesus. So I want to be very clear here. Many people love to worship God. And that's where they stop. I worship God. I worship God too. But I also worship Jesus. And I believe in Jesus. And you know why? Because I can't make it to heaven on my own. I can't get out of this jungle alone. I need to have an encounter that will get me into heaven. I need to be on that road headed towards heaven. And the only way I can do it is to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage us here today, in the short time we have, that you encounter Jesus in the study of God's word in the temple of your heart. Don't lose sight of Jesus. You lose sight of Jesus in just a second, and it will take you weeks to rediscover who Jesus is. You need to have a daily walk with Jesus. Encounter Jesus in your sanctification at the river. Encounter Jesus on the water in the turbulent times of your life. When you are in the storm of your life, that is the time to look to Jesus. And he will not only save you from your storm, but Jesus will help you to walk on that water to get out of it. But most of all, Jesus gives you the promise that if we should see sleep, that there is an empty tomb with the hope that you will be resurrected again and be reunited. That is the hope of all Christians today, is that this life is just temporary. You know, on the overall line of eternity, this life on this planet is just a sliver line. 70 years, 75 years for some men, 80 to 90 years for some women. If you're an Adventist and you're a vegetarian, you might live to 100 years. It's just a sliver. But every day, we got to keep our focus on Jesus. Amen? And so we close out with these words here. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. If you want truth for your life, you must encounter Jesus. That is the only truth that sustains. If you need grace and mercy and love, the message for you today is have a relationship with Jesus, because there you will find grace and love in that relationship. Amen.